This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. French President Jacques Chirac has told the United Nations the world must act together in facing threats to world security. His vision contrasts to the United States policy that sanctions preemptive strikes against nations and terror groups that have the potential to threaten world peace. The French president again urged a swift transfer of power back to the citizens of Iraq. Nathan King reports from New York.
Although France has indicated that it will reluctantly allow UN backing for US control of the forces in Iraq and won't veto any new UN resolution, President Chirac's vision of a multipolar world dominated by collective security at the UN Security Council could not be more different from the Bush administration's. The French president is also pushing for sovereignty in Iraq to be transferred to the Iraqi Governing Council as quickly as possible, something that even pro-American Iraqis are pushing for. Those differences that emerge at the United Nations a year ago are still very much in evidence. Nathan King at the United Nations, New York.
Connecticut Senator and presidential candidate Joe Lieberman today offered harsh criticism for President Bush's speech to the United Nations on Iraq. The Democrat says the speech was light on substance and heavy on rhetoric.
But, you know, rhetoric is no substitute for strategy and specifics, and the Bush administration has still failed to come forward with a real plan that can make Iraq peaceful and democratic.
Lieberman says the president's half-hearted 11th-hour appeal to the United Nations and his continuing "I told you so" attitude are making it difficult to secure international assistance in rebuilding Iraq. Lieberman is calling on President Bush to give concrete plans the world needs to return a safe, secure, and democratic country to the Iraqi people.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Actor Gordon Jump, best known for his role as station manager Arthur Carlson on TV's WKRP in Cincinnati, has died. One of Jump's best-known lines came from the Turkey Drop Thanksgiving episode.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
According to TV Guide Online, the 71-year-old passed away yesterday due to complications from pulmonary fibrosis. Following his WKRP days, Jump became a familiar face on the television ad scene in his longtime role as the Maytag repairman.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
California Governor Gray Davis says he's pleased the recall election will be held October 7th due to the momentum of his campaign. After word came down that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously ruled to reject the delay of the vote, Davis told reporters he would rather have the election now than later. He says his campaign has good momentum and appreciates former President Bill Clinton and other Democratic leaders for coming to his aid. Davis adds the voters are taking another look at the recall and see that distinguished Democratic leaders view the election as a bad idea. Although Davis believes the California voters will make the right decision and not recall him, polls suggest otherwise, showing nearly 60% want to vote yes on the recall. It was an up day on Wall Street with technology leading the way. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 40 points to 95.75. The NASDAQ was up 27 to 1902. The S&P 500 was up by 6 to 1029. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby. Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. And the phone number here, 800-TALK-YES. The email address, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. We have a full program for you tonight. That's kind of a stupid thing to say, isn't it, Kathy? Of course we have a full program. We do every night, right? Among some of the segments, Charlie Crystal of Philadelphia is going to join us in our second hour to discuss his run for the Senate in Pennsylvania. You can go to charliecrystal.com. Excuse me, if you want to. It's C-R-Y-S-T-L-E. Sort of an interesting guy. We had Nancy Skinner on. She's running for the Senate from Illinois. These are all Democrats, of course. And what we plan to do is periodically have a candidate on from someplace in America who is running on a Democratic ticket and just talk with them. You know, it doesn't affect you in Santa Fe. It doesn't affect me here in Georgia. Doesn't affect voters or listeners in California, except in the bigger picture, and that is regaining control of the Senate by the Democratic Party. Also, political trivia next hour. Tonight we have legitimate question, legitimate answer, punishment for what Kathy did last night. She had to listen to Bush and Brit Hume, the interview on Fox News last night, and the taped interview. And she had to listen to it and cut sound from it. So that was the punishment. Tonight we have a legitimate question and a real answer. And the prizes tonight are two signed copies of Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. Tom Hartman, who can be heard on this network every day at noon. And if you didn't see Bush on Fox, I know you don't watch Fox, but Kathy did pick some sound. We'll have that audio. It's pretty scary, plus some audio from Bush at the UN today. All right? See? Isn't that? Doesn't that sound like, oh, God, I just love this show, right? Huh? We also have, during the evening tonight, we will intersperse among the brilliant commentary from you folks and the topics from me, we will intersperse into that quotes from the former Iraqi information minister Mohammed Said al-Sahaf, comments that he made on George Bush right before his country was attacked. Those are kind of funny. They really are, right?
Yes, they are. This is the autumn equinox. For our Wiccan listeners, look, we have Christian listeners, Jewish listeners, Muslim listeners, Buddhist listeners. We also have Wiccan listeners. So this is one of their major sabbats or festivals. A lot of festivals occur around the autumn equinox today. I have no idea how it was in your part of the country, but here in Atlanta, it was just a beautiful day, about 72 degrees, perfectly azure blue sky, low humidity. Ah, just made you want to get out of your skin and run around in your bones. You know what I'm saying? It's just a beautiful day. Festivals occurring around the autumn equinox, for those of you who are interested. Of course, the festival of Mabon, which is what this is all about. But there's also the festival of Dionysus, the festival of Michaelmas. That's named after me. The wine harvest festival, Cornucopia, the Feast of Avalon. Also Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkoth, all Jewish festivals and high holy days around this time of year. This is the start of Libra.
Hey, he's doing astrology again, Ruth.
Come on, lighten up. I love fall. I love autumn. I love the autumn equinox. And if I could just get baptized into the Wiccan church, I probably would do it. You know what I'm saying? I really like that religion. I hate all religion. But the Wiccan faith, I kind of like. This is the time of equality, you see, between the god and goddess. The equinox, right? Get it? The time of equality. The god is represented by the sun and the goddess by the moon. Each represents half of the whole that is fulfilled by their joining as one, right? See, don't I sound like I know what the hell I'm talking about? Now, the next big festival in the Wiccan faith is Samhain, which we non-Wiccans call Halloween. That's the beginning of a new year. But this festival, Mabon, is a time of year when, according to their rituals, we can rest after hard work. How do you rest in Bush's America, right? Crops are gathered. Winter is still a month and a half away. The nights are getting cooler, though the days are still warm, and perhaps something magical is in the air. The light seems almost silver. And that is so true. Coming out of the house this morning to walk up to the end of the driveway and pick up the newspapers, I couldn't help but notice the difference in the light at 10:30 this morning. Now, Mabon, which is this festival, is a lesser Wiccan Sabbat. It's usually celebrated around September 23rd today. Some of the symbols associated with this Sabbat are grapes, wine, garlands, pine cones, gourds, acorns, wheat, dried leaves, and cornucopias, horns of plenty. Actually, Mabon sounds like it's rather like Thanksgiving for pagans, right? Some of the goddesses with this holiday are Morgan, the Muses, Demeter. Some of the gods might include, of course, Mabon, but also Thoth, Hermes, Thor, Dionysus, Bacchus. This Sabbat is named for Mabon, the Welsh god who symbolizes the male fertilizing principle in mythology. And the key action is giving thanks. The key action at this festival is giving thanks. This is a good time also if you do any spell work. This is a good time to cast your spells for protection, wealth, prosperity, security. And spells to bring a feeling of self-confidence are appropriate this time of year. A traditional practice during the fall equinox is to go for a walk in the woods or wild places, forest, someplace. Look on the ground. Gather seed pods, dried plants. You can use some of that to decorate your home. Others you can save for herbal magic. May you be blessed with prosperity in the coming year. May the Lord and Lady look out on you. Good Sabbath. Blessed be. I just love fall, don't you? It's too bad we live in Bush's America. This also is the silly season. Jerky sent this to me. He's from McAllen, Texas, which is a suburb of what? Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston? I don't know. I guess around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Four parents of sophomores at a school there called Science Academy. Now, the name is important because the irony here is just ankle deep. But four parents of sophomores at Science Academy are determined to protect their children from books. Here we go again. You know, book banning, this happens all the time. The board of directors for the South Texas Independent School District is expected to decide whether to ban two books. You know what they are. Huxley's Brave New World and Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land. The parents say, look, you got to ban these from the high school's 10th grade English advanced placement curriculum. Why? Well, according to one parent, Julie Wild, she wrote in her complaint to the district, the books may lead to, quote, inappropriate sexual arousal of young teens. I'm not going to laugh. She went on to say, we feel this is inappropriate for the ages of the students at the Science Academy or any South Texas high school. She went on to say, this is pornographic literature, Brave New World, and we do not feel it has a place in any school funded by taxpayer dollars, end quote. Now, under school district policies, parents have a right to object to their children's reading materials and to obtain alternatives. And that's fine. Even the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom, which sponsors awareness of banned or challenged books, a spokeswoman for the office of the American Library Association said it's not only the right of parents, but the responsibility to be involved in what the kids are reading. So go for it. But Beverly Becker, a spokeswoman for the American Library Association, adds, but there's a line that they cross when they ask that in addition to their kid, that nobody else have access to that book. And when they go to that next step, that nobody else can have access, that's when it becomes a problem. I could never figure that out. When I was in high school 1,000 years ago, books such as these were encouraged. They were encouraged. By the way, Miss Wild, one of the parents protesting, said she has not read Stranger in a Strange Land, and the only thing that she had read apparently in Brave New World was the part about the sexuality. Brave New World, of course, has been called one of the most brilliant satires ever written in English. And the committee that turned down the parents' request, she's appealing all the way to the top of the Texas school district pyramid, but the committee that turned her down said the references in that book to sexual behavior, which the complainant cited as leading to sexual arousal, are non-explicit attempts by the author to engage the reader in critical thought about human values and societal codes of conduct. The book addresses sexuality and portrays groups with radically different approaches to sexuality than that generally accepted as our societal norm. The book does not promote these lifestyles as desirable, and the book does not give graphic descriptions of sexual acts. Yada, yada, yada. And I know y'all are bored with that topic, so am I. It happens all the time. The American Library Association, what do they say here? There are like 7,000 challenges in the past decade to books in either required reading or extracurricular reading. In 2002, there were 515 book challenges that they're aware of that are reported to the American Library Association. I don't know. What is it about books that are so threatening? I'll bet these parents that don't want their little darlings or anybody else to read Brave New World or Stranger in a Strange Land have no problem with reading the having their kids assigned the Left Behind series. Huh? You want to read some real horror fiction? Check that out. Okay, quick break here. We shall return. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Take away freedom of Are you still paying the price for something you did in your past?
No, not that embarrassing incident at the frat house. I'm talking about all those high-interest student loans you agreed to.
Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Anytime, 24-7. We're College Loan Corporation. We're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. So tell those old loans to hit the road and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Hi, Tom Baudette for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. 800 Talk Yes is the number. Mike is calling from Orlando. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to see, talk to you about a few articles before I do, though. I just want to express my distrust a little with Wesley Clark for, I guess, the same reasons you are. Looks kind of fishy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
I sent you an article about from the Birmingham News about Alabama maybe wanting to charge 25 cents a day for kids to ride the school bus. I don't know if you've heard of that yet or what.
No, I haven't. And I guess I haven't opened your email yet, but that's... What's next in Alabama? Where they have public drinking fountains, will it be coin operated?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're talking about taking away the teachers' the money for the supplies and charging for textbooks and everything like this. And, mm-hmm. and meanwhile, the media sits by as they paint a rosy picture for the economy, in the hopes of a self-fulfilling prophecy that maybe if we talk about it, it actually will get better, which is irresponsible as hell right now when everybody is suffering and all they're doing is allowing the administration to keep doing what they're doing, is tax cuts for the rich and then also spending irresponsibly on the military and excessively.
You know, I've said this many times on this program, as have a lot of callers, to what degree of pain does the American public have to suffer before we toss this moron out on his ass and the Republicans in the House and the Senate? What are we supposed to do? How many dead Americans from these adventures for oil? How much of a tanked economy? How much of kids being charged for a publicly funded school bus now? I was just thinking when I was, freshman, sophomore in high school, I could, if I wanted to, if I chose to, I could ride a city bus. I think it costs a dime to get to school, or I could take the public school bus. But how much that their writers put out there on Counterpunch, it really resonates with what people like you and I are faced when Wesley Clark jumps up and says, "Hi, I'm going to be a candidate for president." So it's good stuff.
One thing you spoke of before I go, that you said he did an interview and they asked him about how he felt about working with Cheney and Rumsfeld and these guys.
Yeah.
Did you post that or can you give the source for that?
I think we did. It may have been in the past couple of days.
Okay.
But yeah, he said he could work with them and he liked them and they were good people.
Yeah, that's great to hear, huh?
Yeah, it is. Thanks, right. Mike.
Take care. Good
All right,
night.
Sir. Appreciate your call. We'll be right back.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The Newmont Mining Corporation may be sitting on a gold mine, but its workers say they can barely scratch out a living. Last weekend, about 100 gold miners with the International Union of Operating Engineers traveled from their home in northern Nevada to Colorado, where they picketed gold industry executives and shareholders at the Denver Gold Forum. About 1,000 miners have spent the last year working without a contract. And on Friday, they began a five-day strike to protest unfair labor practices. The price of gold has soared in the last 2 years, and Newmont Mining's stock price has more than doubled in that time. Despite this, the union says it's being asked to give up seniority rights, overtime rules, medical pension, and other benefits.
Good news for former employees of Enron. A federal bankruptcy judge yesterday ruled they can pursue claims against corporate executives for the $53 million they raided from the company's coffers just weeks before it declared bankruptcy in 2001. A committee of former workers will pursue the cash, which was originally split among some 126 executives.
Buses in the Motor City should keep rolling along smoothly now that drivers for the Detroit Department of Transportation have a new contract. 84% of members of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 26, gave the thumbs up to the four-year deal over the weekend, winning wage increases, a $500 stipend for uniforms, and a $400 cash bonus to sweeten the deal.
Last week, the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company announced it would lay off 40% of its workforce. Corporate executives will be spared, and many of them just got hefty raises. Documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission this week note that 11 senior RJR executives took stock grants in the company just 1 month before making the layoff announcement, collectively enriching themselves to the tune of more than $5 million.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Whale. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal Jack. Questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights on IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Ostrich.
Right, Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Yeah.
Zebra.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. John is calling from Philadelphia. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, we're going to have a guy from Philly on, what's his name, Crystal. Charlie, is it Charlie Crystal? Who is running for the Senate from, I think he lives in Philadelphia. Have you heard of him?
No. I keep saying Philadelphia only because you've probably never heard of East Fallowfield, Mike.
Well, actually, this guy lives in Lancaster, PA, which is nowhere near Philly. Not really.
Oh,
but
that's wild because I wouldn't say I'm actually closer to Lancaster than I am.
Really? Well, I think he's challenging Specter.
Oh, wow.
I think. Yeah. Anyway, we'll have him on in about half an hour, so stick around for that, okay? Now,
oh, cool, absolutely.
That's not why you really called.
Now, I wanted to follow up with something that you were talking about last night and something actually that you and I spoke about on the phone maybe even a month or so ago. And it turns on the idea of the self-fulfilling prophecy nature of talking about the electability of Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's even a danger for us. When I say us, I mean people who listen to your show.
Mm-hmm.
Activists. I mean, mm-hmm. that's, I think, people who listen to your show, not the average Democrat or Green in the street, so to speak. But there's something that all of us marketing MBAs learn. In fact, probably one of the first things that we learn is that there's a great danger in our projecting what we think people are gonna need,
mm-hmm.
and saying, I'm thinking, on the company side, and saying, let's build this for them because that's what they really need.
Right.
So I think it's a big danger for us as activists to try to read the mind of the country and say, well, clearly the only person that they're going to vote for is a smiley-faced dean or a tough militarist like Clark. That we got to support. We might as well get behind him because that's the only kind of person
right.
that America is really going to want.
Right.
When the real importance is here, as marketers, namely mm-hmm. as activists, it's our job to make sure that people understand what they really need
mm-hmm.
and that these smiley-faced guys are nothing more than, as we say in the sales biz, these are the sizzle,
right.
not the steak.
Right.
We've got to convince people that what they really want is the steak, and pretty soon, after the sizzle goes, there's going to be a big, big, big letdown.
Yeah, but
or remorse.
Right, but the problem is we have three generations of Americans walking the streets right now, the younger, the middle, and the older generation, who have been taught for a good 50 years to ignore the substance and to go for the sizzle, to totally ignore. I mean, that's what our advertising is based on. I don't care if they try to sell us cigarettes, cars, or a refinancing of our houses. It's based on the sizzle, based on no substance, form only. And it is impossible, I think. I'm not trying to be negative here, John, but I think it's impossible to offset 50 years of conditioning by the advertising business in this country that has taught us pay attention to the form, to hell with the substance.
I agree that is the way we've been conditioned. There's no question about that. What I'm suggesting is that we, as the activists, as the people who are trying to market something that is other, another product, so to speak, other than the one that is more sizzle than steak, we have to. It's our job.
Well, I understand that, but I think with your phone call or my sitting behind this microphone or other people's phone calls, we do the best we can. And besides, you know, I don't know about you, John, but I'm getting tired. You know, I'm getting tired. I'm just getting exhausted. Here's what I really believe. I believe that the pain that this crime family has perpetrated on this society, across the fruited plain, border to border, coast to coast, is so profound that people now are starting to pay attention. And I think people are going to educate themselves. I'm not saying everybody's going to run to the Democratic Party, but I think they're starting to educate themselves that Bush is a vile liar, that everything about him is fraud, that he cannot govern, that his gang cannot govern. These are a bunch of pirates.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I think people are starting to come to that conclusion. But as far as helping to educate people, I'm tired, man, and I know.
You know what? That's when it's most important for us not to lay down.
Well, I understand.
When we're tired, because that's when we're going to be most vulnerable.
I know, but I ain't no missionary, John, and neither are you. I mean,
I'm a missionary, Mike.
Yeah.
UPS guy comes to the door. I know myself. I know. Here's a truck driver.
You start pushing Kucinich.
Hey, Christ! I know one thing. He's a Teamster.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's a Teamster. He's a Democrat.
Well,
if he's a Democrat, he might have been pro-war, but chances are he's anti-Bush. That's all the chink I want. He may only have heard of Gephardt.
Okay, I respect the hell out of that, John. I bow down before you this evening and say, bless you, John. I'm too damn tired. Somebody comes to my house to repair something or deliver something. It's probably because they're 5 days late. I've asked for a repair person to come out for 2 weeks. The package is late. I'm in a pissy mood because somebody's at my door. I just want to go out and walk around in the woods behind my house and collect acorns. You know, I mean, it's fall, for Christ's sake. I certainly respect.
Oh, I'm an Irish Catholic. I've been proselytizing for years, Mike. I got to convert everybody that comes on my doorstep.
Well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. You ought to take a stack of watchtowers and get out in the neighborhood.
God. Oh, hey,
John. No, listen. I do get your point. I do get your point, and I respect you for what you're doing. I make kind of an effort, but given, I don't see that many people during the day. I really don't. I live kind of a cloistered life, but bless you for doing what you're doing.
No, I get nervous. I went to one of the the International Peace Day things in Philadelphia, the Kucinich gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're talking about a city. Philadelphia is about 4 million.
Right.
Throw in the surrounding counties, and we're up to about 12 million.
Right.
And now we're about maybe 30 people there. 30 crummy
there. I know.
And that made me kind of very nervous. Now, those people are very, very active and very, very dedicated.
Right.
They said to myself, wait a minute, Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is primarily Democratic. It may be middle class and all that, and it may be, but it votes Democratic. They have almost always, it's Mayor Street's town. But out of those, I was really so. That's the disappointing thing. The only area where it's not disappointing is that now there are some people, and we have to, when I say that, you and I and your listeners have to realize that by this time, if you're somebody who listens to your show who's supporting Dean, or, God forbid, Clark. I can only imagine that you really haven't read about these guys. You know, Clark is a militarist, period. Dean is just another guy who's going to keep us pretty much under the control of corporate America.
Well, keep John, I've got to move on. Keep fighting the fight, pal.
All right,
thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, appreciate you checking in. Yeah, I, you know, got to respect John. I respect anybody who is not apolitical. I really do. But no, I do. I do get tired. I'm sorry. I have to admit that. It seems like, you know, I said this once on the program before. I got my political awareness. Oh boy, did I! You talk about shock and awe. The day John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Prior to that time. Well, I was pretty young then, but prior to that time, I couldn't have cared less. Nothing made any difference to me. That woke me up. What thoroughly activated whatever political brain cells I have was Lyndon Johnson on television one night in August. When was it? 1964 or 60? I guess it was 64. When he notified the American, or 65, geez, time just rushes by and you're having fun, doesn't it? But he notified the American public that our Navy boats had been fired on in the Gulf of Tonkin, and that we were going to war. And from that point to now, it seems like my entire adult life, doesn't seem like, true, my entire adult life, I don't care what I've done, in the periods when I've been massively unemployed, even during those periods, it seems like the only thing I've been able to think about or work toward is political awareness and trying to join that chorus of other people who are saying, hey, you know, the emperor really has no clothes. And I don't care if the emperor was Lyndon Johnson or Dick Nixon or this thug we have in the White House now. It's just been a long, long stretch. And you know, I get to the point. Don't you? Come on, be honest. Now, I'm not going anywhere, but don't you get the point where you just want to go to hell with this and go for a walk in the woods, right? Of course, the problem with that, if Bush has his way, there won't be any woods to walk in, you know? That's a hell of it, right? Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying. Dave is calling from Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Mike, in about a month, there will be a Kucinich yard sign in Navy housing in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you're going to Gitmo.
Yep. Going to Gitmo. I've called you before about the military.
Oh, yeah.
I told you that, you know, I was affiliated. But the truth of the matter was that a couple of years ago, we had decided to stay here in this area, and my wife got out of the active duty military.
Right.
But in a Bush economy, there ain't no jobs, and Seattle's been particularly hard hit. So we find ourselves in a position with I'm a cancer survivor, and, you know, when you're a cancer survivor, you need stuff like health insurance.
Right.
And so with the economy the way it is, my wife's going back in uniform, and apparently the, you know, God has a sense of humor, so we're going to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
When are you going?
The orders aren't cut yet, but it would appear anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. So we're busy getting the house ready for sale and
yikes,
uprooting our life. This will be our sixth move as a couple with the military.
Is your wife an officer?
Yeah, she's an officer in the military, in the Navy. So, and I was in the Army before we married. So, you know, that's been my life. And you know what? I appreciate the military, good people, all my friends. You know, my entire life's been spent around it. So I don't mind that part of it. I think it's going to be a good experience. But what I'm going to do differently this time is I am going to put my Kucinich sign out there. I'm not going to be a repentant closet liberal this time around. I've always kind of hid out, you know, in the military.
Right.
But this time, you know, we're there to do a job, but I am who I am, and
How are you going to I know it's about you, not about me, but how are you going to call this program if you're in Cuba?
Well, you know, they have a phone service. I wouldn't be surprised if your number was blocked, but I'll find a way.
Well, there's always email. All right, listen, during the next 6 weeks, I hope you stay in close touch. Keep us posted how it's going. You never know about orders. They can change overnight. You know that.
Well, they already did, though, because they said we were going to Tennessee. So this is the real one. But now you've got a Guantanamo Bay correspondent.
Well, how about Guantanamo Bay Bureau Chief?
There you go.
All right. Would you do that for me? Would you be the director?
I would love to do that.
Okay. And you can always stay in touch by email unless that's blocked, too.
And that won't be. And you know what? Guantanamo Bay needs an unrepentant liberal.
They need several.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking before you go.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. Ooh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? I understand summers are an absolute, almost said the B word. Summers are an absolute drag. How's that in Cuba? Ah, good Lord. A couple more items. Let me drop them in here very quickly. Larry Klayman, Judicial Watch. Who hounded Bill Clinton for 8 years, and who has made kind of an effort to get documents released from Dick Cheney. You know, he has Judicial Watch. He's decided he's going to run for the Senate from Florida. Now, the political writer for the St. Petersburg Times is not taking his candidacy very very seriously. And the state GOP finance chairman of that state says, Al Austin of Tampa says, I think he would have to be considered a very big long shot at this point. But Klayman is going to get in. He's, Judicial Watch has, they reported nearly $26 million in donations in 2000. He's got a huge donors list, so they're going to rely on that, of course. Klayman, now why does he want to run for the Senate? Is it to clean up the mess that the Bush bastard has created in this country? Is it to work for freedom, justice, and the American way? No. Here's what Klayman told the Associated Press. The reason he wants to be in the Senate. I will be the conservative antidote for Hillary Clinton. I will be her worst nightmare. Jesus, God, what is it with these apparently impotent, sexually and every other way, white, right-wing Republicans with their little pinched-up faces? What is it? What is their thing with Hillary Clinton? What do they want from her? I think what they want is to see her prancing around in her garter belt and doing a hoochie-coochie for them. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. The fixation on Bill Clinton's penis by these right-wingers and Hillary Clinton's entire body, I guess. God, it's unbelievable. So Larry Klayman is going to base his campaign, and don't you know he'll raise millions based on this from other stupid white right-wing conservatives. Well, I'm going to be there to be the antidote for Hillary Clinton. I want to go to the Senate. This guy wants to be a senator. So he can be Hillary Clinton's worst nightmare. Ah, you thug, you punk, you twerp. I just can't believe this. Yes, I can. I can believe it. Absolutely.
They are evil, and I am the avatar. They all drew and fired E.L. Condoleezza. If you're with me, then blast them to hell. She came riding side saddle, shouting out orders, twirling two pistols remarkably well. When it was over, there's nothing left standing, nothing moving, nothing to say. They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. Cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. and Accor Hotel.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Don't forget, right after the break here at the top of the hour, we're going to talk with a guy named Charlie Crystal. He's a Democrat in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He wants to be a senator there. And what we're doing during this political season, occasionally having Democratic candidates on, people that otherwise, you know, it'd be no reason to put them on the program except for the fact that they're Democrats and they're trying to reassume control with the mature party, that'd be the Democrats. Like we had Skinner on, Nancy Skinner, aside from the fact that she's a friend. I don't know Charlie Crystal from Adam's house cat, but he is a Democrat, and reading his position on certain issues, he looks like a type of Democrat I could support. So anyway, Aaron is calling from Indianapolis. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Hey, you know, I was listening to you earlier when you started the show. I heard you mention all these religions, Christian, Buddha,
yeah,
all of them. And I can tell you're none of those religions.
Absolutely.
And I know you're a realist. And I'd like to introduce you to the church of reality. And the church of reality is, if it's real, we believe in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing we ask is in the church of reality is if you realize something you believe in is wrong, I hope you stop believing in that.
Well, that seems like a fairly easy catechism
to
learn.
Yeah, fairly easy concept there.
Right. If it's wrong, don't believe in it.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
You know? And there's a lot of things out here that are wrong.
Yeah.
That a lot of people are believing in, you know, like Christianity and other things I can
mm-hmm.
mention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as in the church of reality, you know, as a lonely, some of our principles are that, you know, you progress the principle of evolution and you add to the tree of knowledge.
Right. Okay.
And as, you know, as I've listened to you here for a couple of months now, Mike, and I know that you are promoting both of those principles. And as a lonely slash root, which is no better than a monk.
Yeah.
In the church of reality, I'd like to make you a bishop in the church of reality.
I appreciate that, Aaron, but I'd rather be your Atlanta bureau chief, frankly. No, I'm not much for thanks for the offer, but I, you know, I'm real attracted to the Wiccan faith because
you know, you don't need to refuse because in the church of reality,
whatever's,
we believe in what is real.
Right, and, whatever's real is real, and if you don't like it, to hell with you, right?
You bet, and you are our bishop.
All right, Aaron, thanks. Listen, we got a boogie, pal. Thank you so much, Aaron. I appreciate you checking in. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that the special gubernatorial recall election can proceed as originally scheduled on October 7th in California. The 11-judge panel unanimously reversed a decision last week that said the election should be delayed until March due to outdated punch card ballots. ACLU co-counsel Daniel Takai says it's a disappointing decision and wonders if the recall election will be another Bush versus Gore issue.
It leaves open, unfortunately, the possibility that we may have to clean up this mess after the election, especially if the vote is close and within the margin of error of punch card machines. What we may be looking at is a replay of the Florida 2000 debacle all over again.
Robert Schwartz, a California attorney involved in the recall suit, argued the ACLU should not appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Schwartz said it will be a real disservice to the people of the state if the ACLU continues its efforts to delay the recall. The Cook County State's Attorney's Office has announced involuntary manslaughter charges against four men in the E2 nightclub stampede, which killed 21 people last February. Mike Scott has more from Chicago.
State state's attorney Dick Devine said the four men, Calvin Hollins Jr., Dwayne Kyles, the co-owners, Marco Flores, that night's promoter, and floor manager Nikki Hollins, committed acts of commission and omission that led to the deaths of 21 patrons at the E2 nightclub, doing nothing to change dangerous conditions at the illegally run nightclub, and recklessly packing the club so any incident could have led to a tragedy. If convicted, all four men face 10 years in prison. Mike Scott, Chicago.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The men accused of killing Venus and Serena Williams' sister is scheduled to be arraigned in Compton today. Los Angeles prosecutors say 24-year-old Aaron Michael Hammer shot Yetunde Price to death last week while she was sitting in a parked SUV in Compton. The arraignment was expected this morning, but the buses that transport inmates to the court and are driven by sheriff's deputies didn't show up on time. Hammer faces life in prison if convicted of the killing. Price was the oldest sister of the two tennis stars. A suspected teenage gunman shot during a police standoff at a Spokane, Washington high school apparently tried to end his own life by provoking officers to shoot him. The boy was holed up with a semi-automatic weapon inside a third-floor classroom yesterday at Lewis and Clark High. Police say the teenager was struck 3 times by gunfire during the standoff. He's now in critical condition.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tamlin here, WebEx Communications visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
The U.S. ambassador to Germany says he expects President Bush's speech to the United Nations to lead to increased support from the European nation. Speaking in Indianapolis, Ambassador Daniel Coates said he sees signs that Germany may be willing to lend a larger hand in Iraq.
Well, I think we've gotten past the question of the use of force in Iraq to depose Saddam Hussein. Everyone recognizes that this world is a better and safer place without Saddam Hussein in power.
Coates says he thinks the U.S. will encourage Germany to find areas where they can take a role in Iraq. Bush urged the international community to commit more money and troops to help rebuild post-war Iraq. Stocks saw modest gains on the session with technology issues leading the way. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 40 points to 95.75. The NASDAQ increased 27 points to 1902. The S&P 500 climbed 6 points to 1029. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape.
That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And, like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're going to chat for a couple of minutes here with a gentleman named Charlie Crystal. He lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He is running for the Senate from Pennsylvania. He is a Democrat, and as I've said, occasionally we put candidates on from around the country who are trying to bring sanity back to this country. That would be Democratic candidates, especially in the House and the Senate. Charlie Crystal is a Democrat. In a recent interview, he was asked which Democrats he admires the most and why, and he said, well, I admire Jimmy Carter for his unmatched generosity of spirit and contribution to the world, the late Paul Wellstone for his integrity and ability to run a grassroots campaign, Mario Cuomo for his inspirational speeches, and Bill Clinton for his sorely missed ability to clearly articulate the issues and connect them with everyday people. Charlie, that's pretty well said. I guess you borrow a bit from those various candidates. What about Charlie Crystal himself, though?
I'd be lucky if I could aspire to be as great as those guys. I'm very much a tenacious person. I believe in the principles of social justice and economic justice, and we're at a critical point in our history.
Uh-huh.
Where I feel if we don't stand up and fight, that we really risk losing. Really risk losing everything that mm-hmm. we've been working so hard for over the past 40, 50 years.
I went to your website, charliecrystal.com, and it's C-R-Y-S-T-L-E, and read your CV. This is your first run for political office, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, good for you for starting with the Senate. Now, am I right in assuming you're going to take on, what's his name, Specter?
When I win the primary, yes. Arlen Specter mm-hmm. has been in for almost 24 years now.
Yeah.
Has shown no leadership. He's not someone that's trusted by either party.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the results and look at where we are, and not just the votes, but the lack of leadership that he's shown, I think he's very vulnerable. And people are frankly tired of the old guard and the power politics of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have something like 33 lobbyists for every congressman, which means that as a citizen, I'm 34th.
Right. Exactly.
And I have 33 people in front of me. We just don't have representative democracy anymore. And I really want to fight to get it back to the notion that people control our government, not corporations.
I don't want to ask you the stock questions. How do you feel about NAFTA? How do you feel about the women's right to choose? I just don't want to go there. Give us, if you can, kind of the overarching political philosophy that you want to take to Washington, you want to take to the Senate.
Well, I think that the power of Washington really comes from people. I'm trying to bring a principles-based approach to leadership, with those fundamental principles being economic justice and social justice. It's something that is very similar to Wellstone's approach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a business person, so I'm very solutions-oriented. I take a pragmatic approach to things. I feel that regular people, small businesses, mid-sized businesses, no longer have a seat at the table, that foreign policy, trade policy, domestic policy, education policy is informed by the few at the expense of the many,
mm-hmm.
the few being the wealthy and very big corporations. That sounds very left, but it really is. It's an American issue. We're just losing our power as citizens to define and control what kind of America that we want to have. I mean, I ask myself all the time, what, you know, is this my vision of America? And today, no, it really isn't. It's quite disappointing.
I don't find that left at all. I find it very Jeffersonian, frankly, and I think it's very American. I've said before that on this program that the center, the political center in this country, has been hacked and pushed so far to the right that people who talk common sense now sound like raving leftists, or they're identified that way by media, and that's not the case. That's one of the reasons, for the time being, since the beginning, I back Kucinich. Kucinich is no more of a leftist than I'm the Pope. What Kucinich is just a blue-collar, working-class Democrat, and I find nothing in any of his positions. He's a liberal, and bless him for it.
You know, it's great. It's great that he's a liberal. He should be proud of that. We should be proud to be liberals. Liberal principles are phenomenal principles. They're the principles of believing in community, believing in each other, sharing a common vision, and then sharing the sacrifice to achieve that common vision.
That's right.
What child in this country does not deserve a great education?
The
kid in North Philly. Well, why isn't he getting a great education?
Why don't?
It's a lack of political will.
Why don't our elderly have a prescription drug plan? Why isn't Medicaid fully and adequately funded? If that's what we've decided is going to be our national health care program, okay, why isn't it fully and completely funded? There can be a means test for that. There can be a need test for Medicaid. If we're at that point in our evolution that we just don't feel that universal health care is a good idea, then fund Medicaid. Fund these state programs, these children, especially for children. I don't understand, and I mean this is not a throwaway line, I don't understand what to me appears to be the real anti-American or anti-human or anti-citizen, there's a better word, attitude of the Republican right. It's like there is this desire by the Republican right to have 5% of the population control the other 95% and everything will be fine. I don't agree with that.
Well, you know, there's a very cynical view among Republicans, and not just Republicans in Washington, but, you know, Lancaster is a very conservative place, and I've talked to a lot of friends here who say it's really I interpret it as the politics of selfishness, but what they say is that they don't want their money to go to anything other than roads, you know, electricity and defense.
Right.
I look at that as someone who wants to build a castle, live in the castle, not really deal with the realities that are out in the world, that don't want to be a part of the community about the future of the country. I think it's anti-American, really.
I do, too. I'm real familiar with York, Harrisburg, Lancaster, part of the country. I've spent a lot of time there. It's another 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be gorgeous up there. But it is conservative in kind of a, oh, what's a cliche, kind of a Dutchified kind of way, kind of a German-American kind of way. It's conservative. What kind of reaction are you getting to your candidacy?
Well, you know, there's an affliction, and I've had it at different times of my life. I call CPD. It's contrary prejudicial disdain. It's when someone says, "Well, why?" You know, I'm thinking about running for Senate, and then you know they say, "Well, why would you ever do that?
Right.
Why would you ever want to do that?" Instead of saying, "Well, that's a great idea. We really need good people to step forward." It's okay. You know, my friends and family have been very supportive, but. You know, in general, you get that dismissiveness, you get that negativity, but ultimately people come around because, you know, if you're genuine, if you're running on the basis of principle rather than looking for a position, you know, people ask me, why are you choosing for Senate? You know, why not something smaller first? Well, it presumes that I want a political career, but, you know, the war is at the national level, and Arlen Specter is a part of that. I see him as... really an obstacle to civil liberties. I see him as an obstacle to economic freedom for workers and the freedom from the fear that this current administration and the neocons seem to spread around the country, the fear of losing your job, the fear of getting attacked by terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we continue to increase the Pentagon budget when they're not asking for it, and we're not investing more in civil defense. We really need to rethink our concept of what defense is, given the current climate.
Well, I think part of the so-called homeland security, which has a distinctly fascist sound to it to me, a totalitarian sound to it to me, but part of homeland security, if we're going to agree that we live in an era when such a thing is necessary, then homeland security includes or begins with, I think, a solid infrastructure, whether it's the electric grid or dams and bridges or security around nuclear reactors or even the proper dismantling of... We've got a whole generation of nuclear reactors, Three Mile Island out there, that need to be taken down. There's several around my hometown, Toledo, Ohio. There's two of them, the David Bessie nuclear plant there and the one up near Monroe, Michigan. There are just dozens of these things that need to be taken offline and somehow not be what they are, which is a perfect target for people who would do us harm. And
well, this comes back to this tax cut. We've got about $1.8 trillion of tax cuts that the Republicans pushed through and passed over the past couple of years. And if you ask what kind of country do we want to have? Well, mm-hmm. It seems, according to their actions, that they want to have a country that where we ask no sacrifice to improve the country, where we strike out without multilateral support at our perceived enemies, and one where we don't fully fund education, where we don't invest in infrastructure, we don't invest in our schools that are crumbling. We have a terrible disparity in funding in schools across the country. That's not the America that I want to have.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in that America.
You know, the biggest mistake that the Bush administration made, I think, they made so many, but one of the biggest was this unilateralist attitude. If nothing else, the history since World War II, I think, has shown that America needs to work in alliances, whether it's CETO or NATO or the UN or whatever these, and not just military alliances, but also...
That's one of the problems, is that our alliances, like, NATO, it's a military alliance, United Nations, these are not really organizations that are formed around people. They're formed around either economic alliances, which are dominated by multinational corporations like the WTO, the IMF, the World Bank, or NATO with the military alliance. It doesn't reflect representation of people. It reflects representation of smaller and more powerful interests.
And yet, signing on to international agreements, whether it's an international criminal court, an international a consortium of nations that are going to try to put the brakes on global warming or atmospheric or environmental pollution, those are so necessary. Charlie, can you hold a second?
Absolutely.
We've got to do some commercials here. We'll come back, and we'll have about 4 minutes when we come back, okay?
All right,
stick around. We're talking with Charlie Crystal. He is a Democrat in Pennsylvania. He lives in Lancaster, PA. He is running for the Senate. He's running in the primary, Democratic primary. You can go to charliecrystal.com. I think that's it. If it's not, he'll correct me when we come back. And his last name is CRYSTLE. Check him out.
Are you still paying the price for something you did in your past? No, not that embarrassing incident at the frat house. I'm talking about all those high-interest student loans you agreed to. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Anytime, 24/7. We're College Loan Corporation. We're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. So tell those old loans to hit the road and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome. I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Once again, we're offered a sterling example of the incredible ingenuity of big American corporations. Outfits that never cease to amaze with their clever ability to stiff their own employees. Their latest ingenious gimmick is an obscure provision in our nation's immigration laws. It's called the L-1 visa. And apparently, the L stands for loophole. It's certainly a big one, allowing such corporations as Cigna, General Electric, and Merrill Lynch to import low-wage technology workers from India to replace their American employees. The L-1 visa was meant to allow U.S. corporations to transfer a few of their own foreign employees from an overseas branch into company offices here. But now, these corporations are driving an immigration truck right through this L-1 loophole, having already used it to bring some 325,000 computer engineers, programmers, and other high-tech employees from abroad, mostly from India. Here's how the game is played. The foreign workers are hired wholesale by Indian-based recruitment firms that then ship them to their U.S. branches, claiming that they are L-1 transfers. Once here, these workers are contracted to American corporations. The gimmick is that, technically, the immigrants are still employed by the Indian firms. But the bottom line is that major U.S. corporations have been able to smuggle in foreign workers and pay them a third to a half less than the Americans they replace. The L-1 visa does not require that imported tech workers be paid the prevailing wage, nor is there a limit on how many can be brought in. Not only does this loophole allow Americans to be displaced, but it's also common for the corporations to require their American employees to train the foreign workers who will be given their jobs. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop this wage-busting ripoff, call Representative John Micah, 202-225-4035.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
24 past the hour, we're talking with Charlie Crystal, a gentleman from Lancaster, PA, who is running in the Democratic senatorial primary in that state. If the political gods are paying attention, he will get that nomination and then whip Arlen Specter's butt this November 2004. In the couple of minutes we have left, Charlie, what is it that you want people to know? We have a lot of listeners in PA. What is it you want people to know about you or your candidacy or what you're going to do as a U.S. senator?
Well, you know, first of all, it's a long election, and we're going to run a very positive campaign. We're issuing a clean campaign pledge and hoping the other candidates will sign it. I think people deserve better than mean-spirited politics. Second, you know, I was just listening to that Jim Hightower talk about the L-1 visas.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I'm fighting for. You know, my software was acquired by another company, and they've outsourced that work. In Pennsylvania, in the state of Pennsylvania, the state itself is using outsourced labor, and there are a number of companies that are using the L-1 loophole to bring in Indian developers. And they create these tech sweatshops paying $5 an hour to Indians that they brought over and put them in maybe 20 in a house. It's unfair for those Indian developers, but it's more unfair for, you know, American workers.
Sure.
Who are, you know, we talked about, you know, Clinton talked about the bridge to the 21st century. The bridge leads nowhere at this point. You know, when we're allowed, when companies are permitted to export so many jobs, not just blue collar jobs and manufacturing jobs, where in Pennsylvania we're losing 200 manufacturing jobs a day, but white-collar jobs. I have a friend whose father was laid off as a steel worker and had worked very hard to get her through computer science classes and get a college degree and go into IT, and then she got laid off because her job was moved over. So it's got to stop somewhere. We got to start rebuilding our communities, and I'm absolutely committed to economic justice, social justice. Happy to do this on behalf of the people of Pennsylvania.
Do you think the American public in general and the citizens of Pennsylvania more specifically have really now had 3 years of utter destruction of this economy, utter destruction of U.S. standing in the global arena, and two wars, and God knows how many people are going to wind up dead, Americans, not to mention Afghans and Iraqis. Have we, as an apolitical or kind of, I'm too busy to go vote, has the Bush administration gotten our attention?
The Bush administration, have they gotten our attention?
Where we will get off our butts and do something about stopping this.
Absolutely. The frustration that I sense around the country, around the state, as I drive through the state, is very high. And it's among Republicans as well. Republican manufacturers are backing the campaign because of my trade positions, because the Bush administration has failed to act as China has engaged in unfair trade practices. People in Pittsburgh, people in Philadelphia, and they're just tired of it, and they're tired of the mean-spirited nature of it. We really just want to have decent lives and work in decent quality jobs, but there's so much that is out of our control, seemingly, because of what goes on in Washington. And what part of what my campaign is about is to inspire people to take control locally now. Don't wait for policy decisions in Washington. There are things that we can do now to improve our communities and to take back control over our lives. We got to stop living in fear. This is really the administration of fear, and I'm frankly tired of it, and that's why I got off my ass and decided to run.
That's good. That's real good. Charlie, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Is it charliecrystal.com?
It is charliecrystal.com. And one more thing I'd like to leave people with.
Okay.
As Paul Wellstone said in his book, Conscience of a Liberal, this time vote for what you believe in.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, I wish you the best. I hope we'll talk again over the next 14, 15 months.
Yes, thank you so much, Mike.
All right, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you taking time. Charlie Crystal is running for the Senate from Pennsylvania. He joined us from his home in Lancaster, PA. We'll be right back.
Are you still paying the price for something you did in your past? No, not that embarrassing incident at the frat house. I'm talking about all those high-interest student loans you agreed to. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Anytime, 24/7. We're College Loan Corporation. We're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. So tell those old loans to hit the road and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The human impact on the environment is increasing the potential for outbreaks of new diseases. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People and wildlife around the world are being exposed to disease-causing bacteria, viruses, and other pathogens like never before. Global travel, international trade, and loss of habitat are shaking up the world's wildlife, domestic animals, and people. This biological shuffling puts us all at greater risk of new infectious diseases. That's according to Tony Goldberg. Goldberg is an epidemiologist at the University of Illinois. He says human changes to the environment lurk behind many of the diseases that are in the headlines today.
West Nile virus, for example, SARS virus. Recently, monkeypox virus was found in some prairie dogs and a Gambian giant rat in the upper Midwest and actually infected some people, too. These are all examples of viruses that seem to be emerging because people are altering their environment.
Goldberg and other scientists call these emerging infectious diseases. Other examples include mad cow disease, Ebola, and the AIDS virus. Goldberg says pathogens have new opportunities to spread when land use is altered, people migrate in large numbers, or the climate changes. He says one way to slow down this onslaught is to make a point of protecting natural habitats.
If we ensure that whole ecosystems remain healthy and that there's a minimum of disruption to the natural processes that govern these ecosystems, we can expect to see fewer of these sorts of emergent disease problems.
Goldberg says something as simple as buying an exotic pet is still an environmental change, and it's one that can carry a risk of spreading new types of infection. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. I have to say, I don't like to talk to politicians. I just don't. I like that guy. I like Charlie Crystal. Now, granted, he's not a politician, not yet. I hope he gets the nomination, and I hope he comes back on this program. I'd like to see him. Just the sense I get, and from going to his website, go to his website, check it out. If you don't live in PA, doesn't matter. Go there, Charlie Crystal, CRYSTLE.com. We'll continue to do that as the over the next several months, trying to find these candidates who are Democrats. Who represent this belief that we all have talked about, that Kucinich represents, that Wellstone represented, that even Dean, I don't mean to say even Dean, I don't want to offend Dean supporters, Dean, a lot of these guys and gals, Nancy Skinner's another one, who say, look, I'm a reasonably intelligent citizen of the United States, and I don't like what's happening, and I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to put myself out there and try to have an influence on the direction this country's going. I just think we need to support these people, even if they're not in our district or our state. We need to support them, moral support them, talk up their names. If the spirit moves anybody, to send in $20 or something, you know, whatever it takes. Right? Now, for everybody that's been holding on, thank you. Like Dave in San Francisco, who's been holding on for about an hour. sorry, Dave, but I truly wanted to have that man on. I really
it was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed the segment. And he's running against a real opportunist. Arlen Specter is the father of the what Lyndon Johnson ordered was trying to find some way to blame Oswald for killing Kennedy, and he created this silly single bullet theory thing, right. You know, don't forget that. So you're dealing with a real crook there yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Arlen Specter always reminded me of the Pennsylvania version Al D'Amato, the senator forever from Long Island, New York. They called him Senator Pothole, who was right on a few issues. Al D'Amato was right on a few issues, but this old guard that is so entrenched, just like this guy said, it's time to shove some of these people out the door. But anyway, that's not why you called.
It's interesting, though. You mentioned earlier the Kennedy assassination and what happened, I guess, to you. On that day, I know, and on that day it was like shock, and in the ensuing weeks, months, and years after that, it was like the whole of young America lost its innocence that day, and from there forward.
I think so.
And the whole, as I recall, the whole, you know, what happened to our sense of belief in our country that Kennedy taught us, you know, was like we understood clearly, for example, when the U.S. military would be used and when it wouldn't be used.
Right.
Under Kennedy, you understood when he would use the military forces of this country and when he wouldn't, and we felt safe and secure in that knowledge.
And I think that's one of the reasons he was killed, because he did not want to get involved land war in Asia, which is what MacArthur warned against anyway.
Indeed. The British were over there. They warned against it as well, you know. And Kennedy was a brilliant student of history. And I think that, and Eisenhower wasn't bad, too, and he came from a privileged position. He was a five-star general, and he knew a lot of history, too, and he warned all of us against the power of the military, industrial, and I would include intelligence complex.
And look where we are now.
Oh, indeed. We're run by the intelligence community, and the problem is the American people as a whole, I think, are having a very difficult time ascertaining what is the truth from what is lies.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, I think, is because, you see, the Bush family, do you mind if I call it the crime family?
No, go ahead. I appreciate the crime family. That's
it's the truth.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that family has been part and parcel of the intelligence community, and they have intertwined the, for example, the CIA with the mafia. That has been true for 45 years or more. Kennedy and others, even Eisenhower, I think, tried to get the two CIA and the mafia to split company a little bit. You know, killing Castro wasn't worth forming an alliance with people who could, threaten you and so forth if you didn't do what they wanted. And after all, the mafia paid a whole lot more money to CIA agents than the CIA did, right?
That's very true. And I'm reminded of the Santo Trafficante family in Miami.
Indeed.
Whose sole purpose was to off Castro. Because when Batista was overthrown, the mafia lost a huge source of income.
Tremendous. Oh, the casinos, the gambling, and
prostitution,
the
prostitution. All
yes.
Of it. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, but looking at it from 40 years ago through to today, the one man that has been there in the background doing all kinds of things and nobody ever talks about him is the old man Bush. You know, he's been a part of the intelligence community. The CIA's headquarters named after the man, and
right.
He was in Washington, you know, and I kept thinking back after 9/11. Why did Brian Williams, on the evening of 9/11 for his news report, and at the time, I said, well, he's got to be visiting his son. But George Bush Sr. was in the White House with his son gone the second day in Florida. And I figured, well, okay, maybe he was there visiting some of his old cronies. The only one I could think of that was there really in the White House at the time probably was Cheney, right? But then I found out later on that Bush Sr. is a member of the Carlyle Group, which is this group that is basically,
right.
I guess, run by the Bin Laden family.
Well, they're heavy investors in it, yeah.
Now
the official report is that the Bin Ladens have pulled out, closed their investment portfolio with Carlyle. But if that's the case, all they did, I'm sure, was shift names, shift accounts.
You've got that right. They probably put the money someplace else, but
sure.
It's still having the same effect. And that's like believing with Cheney the other day when he said that he had no, I have given up all relationship to Halliburton.
Just a blatant, straight-ahead lie.
Indeed.
And like
the guy he has deferred $165,000 a year that he gets now. They say it's deferred, but it didn't break the law. The issue isn't whether it broke the law. The issue is the appearance of the possibility of being influenced, of Cheney's being influenced by his corporate ties, which he does have, to Halliburton.
I hear you.
And that's where I think we really, it's like a guy I saw in the news report the other day, and I forget which one, whether it's Paul Azan, I think, had somebody on, and this guy was brave enough to say, he says, Well, we not only need to investigate this war with Iraq, but we also need to really have an independent investigation with, people outside of government, not influenced by government, about 9-1-1 and what really happened there, because there's documents not being released to the committees that exist.
Sure, sure. Hey, listen, Dave, my producer's typing on the screen. I got to move on.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You.
I appreciate you checking in, pal. You have a good evening.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. The reason Kathy's putting this up on, where is it? Okay, here it is. We want to get to tonight's trivia question. All right, here it is. Now, if you get this right, two people, you'll get a copy of our colleague Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. That's right. We have two signed copies of Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. So, and tonight we have a legitimate question with a legitimate answer. Remember, what Kathy screwed up so bad last night, she had to watch the entire interview between Brit Hume and George Bush and cut sound bites. And she is a chastised woman tonight, trust me. All right, here's your question. Which foreign leader described George W. Bush as, quote, logically unsound, confused and unprincipled, unwise to the extreme? Which foreign leader described George W. Bush as, quote, logically unsound, confused and unprincipled, unwise to the extreme? Was it A, Chinese President Jiang Zemin, B, French President Jacques Chirac, or C, Russian President Vladimir Putin? Okay? Was it A, Chinese President Jiang Zemin, B, French President Jacques Chirac, or C, Russian President Vladimir Putin, who said George W. Bush is logically unsound, confused and unprincipled, unwise to the extreme? That sounds like what is discussed on this program every night. Jeez. All right, so if you get the right answer, you'll get a copy of Tom Hartman's new book signed. And you can listen to Tom Hartman every day on this network at noon, either on the radio or at IEAmericaRadio.com. Herb is calling from McSherrystown, PA. Herb, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard, sir.
I've called in other shows on the network, though. But
oh, okay.
First time for you.
Okay, well, glad you decided to give us a holler.
I'm mainly calling up because I heard my friend Charlie on there.
Charlie Crystal.
Yeah, yeah. So, I've been meeting up with him ever since he came to the State Democratic Committee meeting a few months ago, and he's come to all of them lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think he's the best choice for the primary myself. I've taken a little bit of heat for that, but
well, you got to hang in there. I understand his primary opponent is somebody who is pretty much for continuing to ship U.S. jobs out of the country. He's not a very good. You know, this is supposedly another Democrat, and
right.
he just wants to continue the hemorrhaging of American jobs, whether blue collar, white collar, pink collar, whatever, out of this country, among other things. He's just kind of a go along, get along. Charlie's opponent, is that correct?
Yeah, free trader.
Free trader,
so
right.
To call.
Yeah, so called.
And Charlie's more of a fair trader. You know, when China keeps devaluing their currency and just flooding,
right?
It's just insane. But my main support for him, though, is kind of completely off track of what he's in there for, and I'm another web developer, so and I'm sure you probably being broadcast online. I don't know what percentage of your listeners are online.
Probably at this point, probably 60 or 70%. We have an enormous internet audience, enormous.
But yeah, when I saw that the founder of ChiliSoft was running for Senate, you know, I just had to look him up and everything, and it's the same reason why I just adore Al Gore too, because you know, even though that might he's not a computer programmer, but you know, he wrote the different legislation that commercialized the internet.
That's right, he did. He was one of the original backers, a strong backer of the internet, and got it from just being a Defense Department phone hookup to something that it is now. Al Gore did do that. You're absolutely
And I'm a lot of Democrats are not so much into NASA and technology as much as I am, but I'm just a big NASA backer, and I just love spreading technology and knowledge and wanting to network people and information. And, you know, after all, that's how you have 60 or 70% of your listeners. But I just really support Charlie, and just wanted to remind everybody that they can contribute on his website, too.
That's good. That's very true. And I hope people will visit that website. Herb, I'm glad you called. I hope you call again.
Okay, no problem.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Do we get winners yet?
One.
We've got one winner. Who is that?
Online 4.
Oh, okay. And you've instructed Brandon, of course, if we take his call before we get winner two, not to say a word, right? Pat is calling from Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call about, I'm calling you about, you know, from Hampton, the devastated Hampton, Virginia.
Hampton Roads, Tidewater.
It's horrible here, but I'm not going to be
power?
A minor.
Have you got power yet?
We got power at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We've been out of power for like, 4 or 5 days?
It didn't take that long to get power back in Detroit and New York City during the grid failure. It's just...
But you know what? Beaches and they've developed new areas now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just new islands and everything. It's just horrible. And I was fortunate to get our power back today at 4 o'clock after Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm not whining about it.
I know.
Not complaining. I called about something else. And,
okay.
And I want to say thank you for everybody. Our power people, all the people came from everywhere to help us out here. And we've been really devastated, and I'm really upset about George Bush came down here to Richmond, but he didn't come down here.
Right.
And we don't have ice, and we have to stand in line, but that's okay. I wanted to call about one thing, okay, and that's about Rush Limbaugh today, because we only have 2 stations that I can get. We had no TV, nothing.
All right, what did the pig man do today?
Oh, he complained, and he talked about after George Bush made his speech and everything, he said to it, well, you know what, Mr. Wesley Clark came in to the foray
right.
or whatever,
right.
And he said, well, you know, and Kennedy came out and said something and blah, blah, blah. And then he said, well, you know, they have a pill the Russians developed. And that's why I'm calling, to see what you thought about it. Did you hear it? And he said, well, you know, there's a pill that they have now. If you take it, if you're alcoholic, or you can drink forever and ever, and then you don't have a hangover.
Oh, Russia, no, Pat.
I said, is that what he's using now? Is that what George Bush is using?
Pat, Rush,
am I the only one?
Pat, Rush Limbaugh is a lie. His mother's a lie. His father, everybody, his family.
I know that. I listen to you. I know that.
Absolute lie. Don't believe it. A pill?
He said it's a pill or a drug. And you don't you can take it and you can drink forever and ever. The Russians developed this. And he said that, and Kennedy's taking it probably, and now he's insinuating that Wesley Clark is taking it.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, maybe President Bush is taking it. Did anybody think about that?
Rush Limbaugh.
I mean, is he so stupid that he doesn't think that we all going to just automatically think maybe George Bush, he sounds so stupid.
Well, Limbaugh has become a threat to this republic, Pat. You've got to not listen. You know, you got to.
I love your show. I've missed you for like a whole week.
You got to not listen, Pat. Thanks.
Withdrawal.
I hear you, Pat. Thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right. You have a nice evening, and good luck getting things together back. You know, with your family and in Hampton, Virginia. Take care, Pat. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Pink, red, pink, red, ha ha, sure.
Dad, someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with Georgian Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kick it off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Molloy.
Five before the hour. Okay, we have our two winners. The guy who's not online was Chico? Or no?
No, he was from Chico,
from
California.
From Chico, California.
Charlie and Chico.
Charlie and Chico, California. And our other winner is Brandon from Corpus Christi, Texas, who also, this is your first time calling in, right, Brandon?
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it
I'm glad you got the book. I hope you enjoy it. All right, now let's do it. Which foreign leader described Bush as logically unsound, confused and unprincipled, unwise to the extreme? Was it A, Chinese President Jiang Zemin, B, French President Jacques Chirac, or C, Russian President Vladimir Putin?
It was A.
The Chinese president, yeah. Jiang Zemin. That's absolutely right. Yeah, if we had an applause soundtrack, we'd run it right now. But
this is a pretty lucky guess, to be honest.
Well, I remember when Jiang Zemin said that, and it was back during the time, if you remember, shortly after Bush took power illegally in this country, one of our spy planes had to make an emergency landing on a Chinese island, and you know, Bush threatened and stomped around like a little tin bastard that he is. And finally, the plane came home in pieces aboard a Russian transport plane. That's how macho George Bush is with somebody like China or a country like China.
Well, you knew
China.
They took it apart, you know.
Oh, they took it apart and got all the secret information, all the technology. Apparently, the flight crew didn't have the sense to destroy everything. So now it's in the hands of the Chinese.
Yeah. Bad deal.
That was Bush. Definitely. One of Bush's big adventures when he first illegally seized the presidency.
Big time. Hey, well, what I wanted to talk to you about is I was listening to your show, and something that really caught my ear is when you started talking about your frustration with talking with people.
Yeah.
You know, how you just wanted to give up.
Yeah.
And you and I, like, tell the truth, would probably disagree on a lot of issues. You know what I mean? But that really struck home with me, and it made me think about education.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think that we need to do here in this country to improve our education system?
Oh, God, it would probably take me a week to answer that, Brandon.
I know, but
there has
to be, there has to be, like, I think that obviously feeding it more money is not a good, you know what I mean, like, is not the way.
I don't believe that money solves all problems, but our school system is in desperate need of money. They need textbooks. They need classrooms. They need new construction. We need to start treating teachers like the professionals they are and paying them accordingly. I mean, it just goes on and on, but it would take me forever to try to just give you my opinion on education.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Hey, let me put you on hold, and I'll come back, because we got to take a break here. We'll come back right after the break, Brandon, and chat for a couple more minutes. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklefush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklefush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland.
French President Jacques Chirac has told the United Nations the world must act together in facing threats to world security. His vision contrasts to the United States policy that sanctions preemptive strikes against nations and terror groups that have the potential to threaten world peace. The French president again urged a swift transfer of power back to the citizens of Iraq. Nathan King reports from New York.
Although France has indicated that it will reluctantly allow UN backing for US control of the forces in Iraq and won't veto any new UN resolution, President Chirac's vision of a multipolar world dominated by collective security at the UN Security Council could not be more different from the Bush administration's. The French president is also pushing for sovereignty in Iraq to be transferred to the Iraqi Governing Council as quickly as possible, something that even pro-American Iraqis are pushing for. Those differences that emerge at the United Nations a year ago are still very much in evidence. Nathan King at the United Nations, New York.
Connecticut Senator and presidential candidate Jill Lieberman today offered harsh criticism for President Bush's speech to the United Nations on Iraq. The Democrat says the speech was light on substance and heavy on rhetoric.
But, you know, rhetoric is no substitute for strategy and specifics, and the Bush administration has still failed to come forward with a real plan that can make Iraq peaceful and democratic.
Lieberman says the president's half-hearted 11th-hour appeal to the United Nations and his continuing "I told you so" attitude are making it difficult to secure international assistance in rebuilding Iraq. Lieberman is calling on President Bush to give concrete plans the world needs to return a safe, secure, and democratic country to the Iraqi people.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Actor Gordon Jump, best known for his role as station manager Arthur Carlson on TV's WKRP in Cincinnati, has died. One of Jump's best-known lines came from the Turkey Drop Thanksgiving episode.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
According to TV Guide Online, the 71-year-old passed away yesterday due to complications from pulmonary fibrosis. Following his WKRP days, Jump became a familiar face on the television ad scene in his longtime role as the Maytag repairman.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
California Governor Gray Davis says he's pleased the recall election will be held October 7th due to the momentum of his campaign. After word came down that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously ruled to reject the delay of the vote, Davis told reporters he would rather have the election now than later. He says his campaign has good momentum and appreciates former President Bill Clinton and other Democratic leaders for coming to his aid. Davis adds the voters are taking another look at the recall and see that distinguished Democratic leaders view the election as a bad idea. Although Davis believes the California voters will make the right decision and not recall him, polls suggest otherwise, showing nearly 60% want to vote yes on the recall. It was an up day on Wall Street with technology leading the way. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 40 points to 95.75. The NASDAQ was up 27 to 1902. The S&P 500 was up by 6 to 1029. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby.
Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're going to get to W in just a second, but we've got Brandon in Corpus Christi, Texas, who's been holding on.
How are you doing?
All right, Brandon, let's wrap it up.
All right. No, yeah, big time. I was thinking our education system, it seems to – one big problem with it is there seems to be a lack of competition between schools. They say, hey, you're in this district, you come here. And we've learned basic, just general capitalism tells us that, you know, competition is what, you know.
Well, let me interrupt you, Brandon. First of all, I don't want to cut you short, but I do have to move on, and that's a pretty deep topic. But let me say this. Capitalistic principles have about as much business in our educational system as a dead skunk. We're not about capitalism where it concerns educating our children. As far as I'm concerned, this is just my opinion, the theories of capitalism have absolutely no application where it concerns educating our kids. Competition between schools is bat guano. What we need are motivated students. That comes from motivated parents and motivated teachers. It comes from neighborhood schools. It comes from a sense of community. It comes from adequate funding. It comes from well-educated and informed school board members who don't respond to thugs like people who want to ban books. It comes from parents who see the school as something more than a place to dump their kids. Capitalism, schmapitalism, it has nothing whatsoever.
You don't think it has anything?
No, nothing, just... nothing, yep. Brandon. As a matter of fact, the rules of capitalism applied to education guarantees one thing, an uneducated class of consumers who will do whatever their capitalistic masters tell them to do.
I think that the capitalism, I'm not necessarily speaking capitalism fundamentally. I'm talking about capitalism in the sense that make the schools, would have to improve.
I'm sorry, I disagree. Brandon, I've got to move on. I don't mean to cut you off, but we've got to move on because I've got to get to this next segment. Maybe some night we'll talk about education, but as far as anything having to do with an economic theory, especially one as perverted and screwed up as capitalism, applied to our educational system is, to me, is non sequitur. It just makes no sense. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you checking in. Now, when Pat called a few minutes ago from Hampton, Virginia, and wanted to know about that alcohol pill, Kevin in Woodsfield, Ohio, emailed in about the anti-alcohol pill that Rush was talking about. Kevin says, Rush learned about this pill by watching Revenge of the Nerds. Remember the tricycle race where the racers had to chug a beer after each lap, and the nerds won because they had a pill that totally countered the effects of alcohol? See, there said Chappelle does indeed exist, so stop calling Pig Boy a liar. On second thought, Pig Boy is a liar, and I really appreciate when you call him on it. Kevin in Woodsfield. Is that where that came from? Revenge of the Nerds. Oh, jeez. All right, Bush today. Bush at the UN. I've seen fewer blatant displays of arrogance and asininity than I saw in a little bit of that speech that I saw. Fred Kaplan, writing for Slate, calls it a bafflingly impertinent speech before the General Assembly. As Kaplan writes, here were the world's foreign ministers and heads of state anxiously awaiting some sign of an American concession to realism, and Bush gave them nothing, in some ways less than nothing. Bush's message can be summarized as follows. The U.S.-led occupation authority is doing good work in Iraq. You should come help us. If you don't, you're on the side of the terrorists. Have I said anything yet tonight about how much I hate these sons of bitches? Excuse me, there's a bad word, but they are sons of bitches, and I do hate them, okay? Starting with Bush and working your way up through the Bush crime family. But Bush dredged up that familiar formula, you know, weapons of mass destruction plus terrorism equals the enemy in Iraq, right? Yeah. Apparently, he either forgot or he doesn't give a damn that that line of non-reason didn't persuade the UN back in November when Saddam was still in power. It's not going to persuade him now. The rest of the world knows what Bush did, and they know now, the entire world knows now what his motivation was. His motivation was exactly what 10 million protesters said. It's the oil, stupid. Everybody knows now. Everybody, the entire world understands that the casus belli that motivated Bush didn't exist. None of them. Or is it causae belli? It's just unbelievable. This arrogant, somebody like George Bush, who has as much business being arrogant as, I don't know, Uncle Wiggly. You don't know who Uncle Wiggly was? It's a storybook character. I think he was a rabbit, wasn't he? For George Bush to display his impertinent arrogance, it's bad enough to display that childish, macho transparency to the American people who did not elect him. But it's something else, again, to constantly put that BS on display to a global audience, to people who have forgotten more than this jackass will ever know where it concerns politics or reality or whatever. God, he's an embarrassment. He's just an embarrassment. Dan sent me an email about listening to the speech today. Dan used to listen to the program during his stay in Japan, he writes, as an exchange student. The following, Dan writes, is the exact quote from Bush, and then he adds his thoughts in parentheses. Bush said, events during the past 2 years have set before us the clearest of divides between those who seek order and those who spread chaos. Now Bush says things like this with no sense of irony whatsoever. He goes on, between those who work for peaceful change and those who adopt the methods of gangsters. He actually said this today. Between those who honor the rights of man and those who deliberately take the lives of men and women and children without mercy or shame. Now, and Bush stands here and says that. Educated foreign heads of state who are sitting there, granted, in the United States, in the United Nations, sitting there, how do they sit there and not vomit up their lunch or their breakfast with this jackass, this moron, saying things like this? Now, as Dan said, where it concerns the statement, events during the past 2 years have set before us the clearest of divides between those who seek order, well, that would be France, Germany, and the UN, right? And those who spread chaos. Who spreads chaos in Iraq the most in the last 2 years? Dan writes, I didn't hear about Saddam blowing up civilian buildings or to shock and awe his population into following his command. Must be the Bush administration. And then what Bush says, between the clearest of divides between those who work for peaceful change and those who adopt the methods of gangsters. Dan says, peaceful change, France, UN, all the peace protesters from America to Japan who begged Bush not to resort to violence. And those who adopt the methods of gangsters, well, how about lobbing missiles at a country, starving them through sanctions, then finally sending superior force to destroy everything, but what's worth money to you, the oil? Sure appears to me to be gangster-like behavior. Must be the Bush administration. Bush then said, between those who honor the rights of man, like those who agree to the Geneva Convention, Dan writes, and those who deliberately take the lives of men, women, and children without mercy or shame, and Dan writes, at home through the death penalty, and abroad in Iraq, who else but the Bush administration? And then Dan writes, it scares me to think that Bush can say this without thinking he is guilty of those crimes. I wonder how many people there were thinking the same thing as I was thinking when they heard this. Probably all of them, Dan, and a good percentage of Americans who still have the retain the ability to think. Now, before we get to some of his comments from the UN today, one of his comments last night during his interview with Brit Hume, and Kathy tells me we've got a couple of the Brit Hume Fox News interview last night. Did you see any of that? I watched Kathy as she was sentenced, punished by having to cut sound bites, and I just about tossed my cookies. I've never seen anything like that at all. Brit Hume is a jackass, but you put these two jackasses together, and it was an absolute comedy act. It was Abbott and Costello. It was frickin' frack. It was, who else? Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Burr. I don't know. Anyway, here's Bush. Last night on the taped interview with Brit Hume. And by the way, somebody emailed into me to point out all the editing cuts. Can you see, that's the reason they taped it. Fox, probably with Karl Rove sitting at the tape editing machine, cut and spliced and paced that tape probably 1,000 times. But anyway, Brit Hume asks W about God and war. Now, you remember, Bush told, was it Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian, former Palestinian prime minister, that, or was it a writer for Haaretz? But he told, damn, I'm drawing a blank. But he said God told him to take care of Afghanistan to attack the Taliban, and he did. And God told him to attack Saddam, and he did. Now, here's Brit asking Bush about God and war. Brit says, how do you hold the situation in Iraq in juxtaposition to your faith?
Well, I first of all, I would never justify, I would never use God to promote foreign policy decisions.
Liar.
I recognize that in the eyes of an Almighty, I am a lowly sinner, and I ask for strength and wisdom, and I pray for calmness when the seas are stormy. And I pray for others. I pray for I pray a lot for families who've lost a life.
Yeah.
I went to Walter Reed, was struck by the braveness of our soldiers, and kind of got a quiet moment afterwards and prayed for them and their families. And
oh, you hypocrite. Hell is waiting for you, buddy. Hell is waiting for you. This perverted God you believe in is going to delight in taking you apart centimeter by centimeter of your flesh for the things that you're saying. I would never use God to promote foreign policy decisions. Remember when God said, who did he say it to? Was it the State of the Union address, right? God is not neutral. Well, your God is not, George, and he's waiting for you. And he's got horns and a tail and cloven hooves. But there he stands with this dumbass Brit Hume. I would never use God to promote foreign policy decisions. And the entire world knows that he said God told him to invade two countries for Christ's sake or God's sake or Moses' or somebody's sake. But he knows that the smarmy little Brit Hume is not going to challenge him on that. Brit Hume is not going to turn around and say, well, George, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar. Because we reported, or somebody, well, we didn't report, but CNN or MSNBC or ABC or CBS or NBC, somebody reported, George, back when you let it leak, that you told the Middle Eastern politician that God told you to invade two countries. Oh, my God. We've got more coming back. Stay with us.
So I can't. We make the pie higher. I know humans and fish can coexist peacefully if we don't cave into desire. You can't.
The course of this conflict is not known, yet its outcome is certain. God is not neutral.
I agree. We all know the importance of bondage between mother and child.
in the home. But it's hard to put food.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. Ah! People were waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there. It just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
We must collectively get after those who kill in the name of... some kind of false religion.
Can still love me
and this guy stood in front of the UN again today. When was the last time? Was it last year? The only thing that's changed is that the world knows he's a jackass now. The world knows that he's incapable of leadership. The world knows that he is brain dead. It has the sense God gave a goose. All right, now at the UN... All reports are his phony, fake, little macho, kick-ass talk. You know, I can imagine what it would be like to be a foreign head of state or a foreign diplomat listening to the alleged head of the United States. You know, we're the United States, right? We're not the old Soviet Union. Bush comes across like Khrushchev. Bush comes across like a Brezhnev. Bush doesn't even come across as arrogant and snotty as Putin. Certainly not like Gorbachev. But that's what he sounds. He sounds like one of those old Soviet premiers, those Politburo apparatchiks who worked their way up. You know, standing on the skulls of God knows how many dead Georgians or how many dead Chechens or how many dead Ukrainians. But there he is, standing in front of the UN, talking like Khrushchev. His tough talk. Now, you've got to keep in mind, the speech was designed for U.S. audiences. So he wouldn't lose face this close to the next election, right? Here's the little smarmy bastard again.
The terrorists have clarified the struggle we are in. Those who target relief workers for death have set themselves against all humanity.
Quack, 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 quack.
Those who incite murder and celebrate suicide reveal their contempt for life itself.
Whack, whack.
They have no place in any religious faith. They have no claim on the world's sympathy. And they should have no friend in this chamber.
You don't, George. Honest to Christ, you really, really don't. That's what it's come down to, buddy. More chest thumping and threats from weak and stupid.
Events during the past 2 years have set before us the clearest of divides.
Yeah, here's the irony.
Between those who seek order and those who spread chaos.
What have you done, jackass?
Between these alternatives, there is no neutral ground.
Now, you have to conclude, like every Bush speech, he has no idea what he's talking about. He has no mental ability to grasp these concepts. It's all he can do to state the sentences and phrases carefully put out for him in 3 and 4 and 5 word bites. That's the best he can do. So it's stupid of me to think that Bush is standing there understanding, appreciating, reveling in, or even being aware of the irony of his words as he says to the United Nations, between those who seek order and those who spread chaos, when it was the United Nations that sought order, and it was George W. Bush who brought chaos. It's just mind-boggling. How did this happen? How did George Bush get enough votes to throw it to the U.S. Supreme Court? How did that happen? Dear God, how did that happen? Here he is asking the UN to basically get over it, move on, where it comes to his preemptive attacks on Afghanistan and Iraq.
Our actions in Afghanistan and Iraq were supported by many governments.
Who?
And America is grateful to each one.
All three of them.
I also recognize that some of the sovereign nations of this assembly disagreed with our actions.
Yeah, 90% of them.
Yet there was, and there remains, unity among us on the fundamental principles and objectives of the United Nations.
Oh, my God.
These permanent commitments call us to great work in the world. Work we must do together. So let us move forward.
Now, this is a jackass whose entire administration said the UN was irrelevant. They had nothing to do with decisions made by the neocon thugs that run this country.
Kill an American.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get 3 wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no 3 wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number 1 anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Anacor Hotel.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The Newmont Mining Corporation may be sitting on a gold mine, but its workers say they can barely scratch out a living. Last weekend, about 100 gold miners with the International Union of Operating Engineers traveled from their home in northern Nevada to Colorado, where they picketed gold industry executives and shareholders at the Denver Gold Forum. About 1,000 miners have spent the last year working without a contract. And on Friday, they began a five-day strike to protest unfair labor practices. The price of gold has soared in the last 2 years, and Newmont Mining's stock price has more than doubled in that time. Despite this, the union says it's being asked to give up seniority rights, overtime rules, medical pension, and other benefits.
Good news for former employees of Enron. A federal bankruptcy judge yesterday ruled they can pursue claims against corporate executives for the $53 million they raided from the company's coffers just weeks before it declared bankruptcy in 2001. A committee of former workers will pursue the cash, which was originally split among some 126 executives.
Buses in the Motor City should keep rolling along smoothly now that drivers for the Detroit Department of Transportation have a new contract. 84% of members of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 26, gave the thumbs up to the four-year deal over the weekend, winning wage increases, a $500 stipend for uniforms, and a $400 cash bonus to sweeten the deal.
Last week, the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company announced it would lay off 40% of its workforce. Corporate executives will be spared, and many of them just got hefty raises. Documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission this week note that 11 senior RJR executives took stock grants in the company just 1 month before making the layoff announcement, collectively enriching themselves to the tune of more than $5 million.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Back to Bush insulting the United Nations today. Bush's inability to be a leader of anything. He couldn't lead a baseball team. He couldn't lead Harkin Energy. He couldn't lead Arbusto. Couldn't lead anything. He's a failure. He's a disgusting failure. Which is fine. That's what America's all about. Fail and start all over again. But not when you steal the presidency, right? I mean, come on. And failure, start all over again, usually implies that you do it yourself. You don't have your mommy, your psychopathic mommy, and your daddy, your CIA-connected daddy, come in and bail your ass out of every screw-up. You and your entire family. Every time a Bush sibling gets anywhere near anything, it turns into, I don't know, cobwebs and dust, doesn't it? But anyway, so here he is, back at the UN, the organization that he totally dissed, but now, 6-8 months ago, but now he needs their bodies. He needs their money. Up to a point. No sharing of command and control. No. I just want your money. I just want your bodies. So Bush, you know, the question now, when will Iraq be turned over to, you know, the Iraqis so they can take care of themselves and our troops will be out of harm's way? Your guess is good as mine. Probably never. This is a tar baby. And Bush wants the UN to step up and clean up his mess. But not going to hand over any power to them, you know. Unbelievable.
The primary goal of our coalition in Iraq is self-government for the people of Iraq.
You're a liar.
Reached by orderly and democratic process.
You're a liar.
This process must unfold according to the needs of Iraqis.
What?
Neither hurried nor delayed by the wishes of other parties.
Sieg Heil!
Now the nation of Iraq needs and deserves our aid.
Sieg Heil!
And all nations of goodwill should step forward and provide that support.
Yeah, he made the mess. Now the world can come in and clean it up. What is this? What is this? The primary goal of our coalition in Iraq is self-government for the people? That's a lie. That is a filthy lie. If it were self-government, Iraq would now be in the initial stages of becoming the Islamic Republic of Iraq. And it would be run by Ayatollahs. Reached by orderly and democratic process? The slaughter of our soldiers, the slaughter of Iraqi civilians, that is an orderly and democratic process? And then he says the process must unfold according to the needs of Iraqis. And he stands there and says that. And the delegates to the UN sit there and go, oh, my God, he is crazy. Malloy's right. Oh, they don't say that, Kathy? Oh, okay. All nations of goodwill should step forward and provide the support, the money and the bodies necessary because of the chaos and death and destruction, Bush, rot in Iraq. Calm down. And it just goes on and on. We're not going to play any more for you, okay? They make me sick. They make you sick. It's very late at night in some parts of the country here. I'll tell you what, let's go back to some comedy. Bush and the exclusive interview with Britt Hume on Fox last night. This is part of Kathy's penance for screwing up the trivia question, and she really suffered for it. She said, next time I screw up the program that badly, will you just beat me with a barrel stave? Don't make me do this again. Now, I want you to listen here. Listen as Bush admits he doesn't keep up with the news. Now, ask yourself as you're listening to this, how would Bill Clinton have answered this question? Britt Hume asks, how do you get your news?
I get briefed by Andy Card and Condi Rice in the morning. They come in and tell me. I glance at the headlines just to kind of get a flavor for what's moving. Rarely read the stories and get briefed by people who are who probably read the news themselves. Yeah. You know, look, I have great respect for the media. I mean, our society is a good, solid democracy because of a good, solid media. But I also understand that a lot of times there's opinions mixed in with news. And I appreciate people's opinions, but I'm more interested in news. And the best way to get the news is from objective sources. And the most objective sources I have are people on my staff who tell me what's happening in the world.
Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice are objective? Oh, my God. And again, the further irony, it's almost gagging. He's sitting there with the editor-in-chief of Fox News, Britt Hume, and he says, Bush says, you know, I understand a lot of times there's opinions mixed in with news, and I appreciate people's opinions, but I'm more interested in news. He's saying that to Fox? And Roger Ailes and Britt Hume and the rest of these half-wits didn't just fall out of their executive chairs when he said that? Oh, my God. Now, here he is again. Here he is again. This thing last night with Britt Hume. A matter of fact, Kathy's going to do some things with that interview last night that you will appreciate later on in the week. Trust me. But right now, we're just playing as straight for you as we can. Britt Hume questions too stupid to be dog catcher on his bring 'em on statement. Now, when Bush answers, he obviously is not familiar with the first rule of holes, which is when you're in one, stop digging? Britt Hume says, a few weeks back, when these terrorists began to appear on the scene, evidently from outside, you said, bring them on. What did you mean by that?
I was saying to our troops in the theater that some in the region felt like they could come and take you on, felt like they could beat us. And my point was, we're plenty tough, and we will take them on there. And we are prepared to battle them, and we will.
Oh, my God. This from a cowardly snake who didn't even have the courage to finish up his Texas Air National Guard service. It's astonishing. So he says it essentially again. He invites more death of American service members. This dumbass sits there and invites the death of more 19 and 20-year-olds if they're regular Army, and 40 and 50-year-olds if they're reservists or National Guard. Come kill us, George says. I'm safe and secure back here in my hidey hole. But go kill our boys. Go kill our men. This guy is disgusting beyond belief. Now, again, on the weapons of mass destruction, this half-wit jerk Britt Hume says, what is your theory about what Saddam Hussein did with his weapons of mass destruction? What do you say to the nation, you're beginning to hear it more and more now, that actually he got rid of them? But he didn't want his neighbors to know that, you see, because he wanted to be able to continue to intimidate them. What do you say to that, Mr. President?
I think he hid them. I think he dispersed them. I think he is so adept at deceiving the civilized world for a long period of time that it's going to take a while for the truth to unravel. But I firmly believe he had weapons of mass destruction. I know he used them. I think, I just say be patient. The truth will will out. I've told David Kay to go find the truth. We've been there for about 4 months, and David is spending a great deal of time learning the truth, and the truth, we'll find out the truth.
Astonishing. Astonishing. I firmly believe he had weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, he did, before he did what the UN ordered him to do, George, and that was to destroy them. I firmly believe he had weapons of mass destruction. I know he used them. That disgusting laugh, that chortle, that chuckle, that evil slouching toward Bethlehem snarl and snark that comes out of this thug's mouth. It's just incredible. Now listen as the Bush continues to patronize and condescend the UN. This is before he made his little speech. What kind of control or power is he willing to share with them? Eh? With the UN? None. Britt Hume says, the refrain you keep hearing from others is a larger role for the UN. You have consistently spoken of a vital role for the UN. Would you be willing to grant a larger role? Would you be willing to grant a larger role to the UN in the political developments there to make way for a resolution?
Well, for example, I'm not so sure we have to, for starters. But secondly, I do think it'd be helpful to get the United Nations in to help write a constitution. I mean, they're good at that. Or perhaps when elections start, to oversee the elections. That would be deemed a larger role. The key to the resolution, however, is to we need a resolution in order to encourage others to participate in the reconstruction of Iraq and hopefully into the security of Iraq. But the key is to make sure the political timing stays intact, and therefore the UN must understand that we are very firm on that sequencing of events.
Do you have any idea what he just said? No, of course you don't. And he says, I think it would be helpful to get the United Nations in to help write a constitution. They're good at that. Will somebody tell me when the United Nations has ever written a country's constitution? I'm serious. If you know of one country on the planet that had their constitution written by the United Nations, oh, there must be one. I'm just a stupid talk show host. I don't know what it is. Apparently Bush does. Do you? Kathy, do you know of one? Does anybody know of one? There must be. I'm admitting up front, right now, I don't know of one. But that might be my ignorance. Has the United Nations ever written another country's constitution? Bush says they're good at it. Which would imply, in Bush's fantasy world, I guess, that means the UN has written several, or a dozen, or 20. In order to get good at something, you have to do it more than once, right? How many times? Well, if it's brain surgery, you probably have to do it 100 times. Maybe 1,000. If you know of a country whose constitution was written by the UN, please email me. And if I'm displaying my gross ignorance by asking the questions, so be it. But I don't know of any. Has an American president ever delivered such a bafflingly impertinent speech before the General Assembly as the one George W. Bush gave this morning? That's the question Fred Kaplan asked at Slate Magazine. Well, Fred, the answer is no. Absolutely no. Khrushchev did. When he banged his shoe and Adlai Stevenson, told him to kiss his ass or something equivalent to that? Don't wait for the translation. Do you have weapons in Cuba? I don't know. I don't know. Don't know what to say. Well, maybe what we should fall back on are the quotes from the Iraqi Information Minister Mohammed Saeed al-Sahaf. You remember him? What a caricature. George Bush's doppelganger, right? He's got a lot of them. But the Iraqi Information Minister, before he was caught or whatever, had some comments about George W. Bush. He called him the leader of the international criminal gang of bastards. He called him the insane little dwarf Bush. He said, the midget Bush and that Rumsfeld deserve only to be beaten with shoes by freedom-loving people everywhere. He said, Bush is a very stupid man. The American people are not stupid. They are very clever. I can't understand how such clever people came to elect such a stupid president. He said, I speak better English than this villain Bush. He said, we're going to drag the drunken, junky nose of Bush through Iraq's desert. Dear God, show the respect, Mr. Muhammad. This is our illustrious president. Mohammed Saeed al-Sahaf also said, this criminal in the White House is a stupid criminal. One of my favorites from Iraqi Information Minister Mohammed Saeed al-Sahaf before he was neutralized. Bush doesn't even know if Spain is a republic or a kingdom. How can they follow this man? Well, Mr. Mohammed Saeed Sahaf, 96% of Americans don't know if Spain is a republic or a kingdom either, and 96% of us Americans couldn't find it on a map of Europe. Bush is America. I can see about 50 of you right now sending me an email. The hell he is! You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Southside Carl's checking in from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. You know, we caught you here. We have very little time left, but go ahead. Take a shot.
You know, I won't say anything about yesterday's Oprah interview with Rich Hume.
Thank you. Thank
I mean, with the president.
right.
What I wanted to say, though, is that I wanted to get your view on something that I thought was said, and I'm pretty sure it's going to get passed over, like a lot of the things Bush done said.
Yeah.
I heard him say today and talk about proliferation of weapons,
mm-hmm.
and talking about interdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a statement of, well, we can pour more gas onto global situation. When he said this, they happen to have the cameras on the French delegation. And then they're looking back and forth at each other, like, what is he talking about?
Right.
You know, because, he said that it's us and some 11 other countries who've already join together to stop the transfer of missiles or any kind of weapons or whatnot. I don't know. I don't have it verbatim for how he said it, but I'm thinking, well, if you do something like that, those could be considered acts of war.
I know. Hold on a second, Carl. We got to take this break. We'll be right back.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more of me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom in Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. A little bit early for the theme music, but what the hell. We're talking with Carl in Chicago. Carl, go ahead. Pick it
you
up.
Know, well, Mike, the thing is that, you know, he not only did this, but he wants the U.N. to join in on doing this.
Sure.
I mean, this is against the U.N. charter. But what gets me is that, well, how brain dead are we? I mean, there's no secret what these things that Bush has said. He done said all of these things, preemption, mm-hmm. Actions of evil, all these things have been said, and no one challenged him when he says or bring forth, you know, right. Policies like this. It's like I said, we're sitting here brain dead and you know, and stupid and until he actually goes to doing it. And when he said this stuff about interdiction, he didn't mention any countries, but my first reaction is he got to be talking about North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I'm looking at the French reaction. And it's like, well, it's a surprise to them, and it's.
Yeah.
And I really hadn't heard anything. I just was wondering what you thought about it. If you caught
well,
that.
Well, you've no, I didn't catch that particular comment from this jackass. But you've pretty much articulated what my position would be. How dare he talk the way he's talking? And yeah, I'm sure it's not just the French, but it's probably at this point. You know, the British foreign minister, this thuggish Jack Straw, and the rest of these people are starting to think, what have we done? You know, we have offered physical and moral support to this moron.
Well, I heard that they weren't even aware of this thing that Bremer put in about the taxes and all of this stuff, some things that he signed as part of what the Iraqis are going to do as far economically and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They were even left out on that.
Right. Well, the Bush and his neocon American Zionists and the rest of these people, they are dismembering this country. They are selling every single piece of it off that they can. That's what makes what he says at the UN just so grossly hypocritical. That's why his God is waiting for him to boil his ass in oil for all of eternity, because of the lies that he's telling, when the reality is everything in Iraq now is up for sale. I didn't get to that topic tonight. I'll try to get to it tomorrow night. But the Bush crime family has put the entire country up for sale except the oil. These are unconscionable bastards. They really are. Carl, there's the music. Thanks, pal.
All right, Mike.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Oh. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, producer in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces, thanks to Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive, our webmaster, and also Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantilla.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. French President Jacques Chirac has told the United Nations the world must act together in facing threats to world security. His vision contrasts to the United States policy that sanctions preemptive strikes against nations and terror groups that have the potential to threaten world peace. The French president again urged a swift transfer of power back to the citizens of Iraq. Nathan King reports from New York.
Although France has indicated that it will reluctantly allow UN backing for US control of the forces in Iraq and won't veto any new UN resolution, President Chirac's vision of a multipolar world dominated by collective security at the UN Security Council could not be more different from the Bush administration's. The French president is also pushing for sovereignty in Iraq to be transferred to the Iraqi Governing Council as quickly as possible, something that even pro-American Iraqis are pushing for. Those differences that emerged that the United Nations a year ago are still